is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
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 You're right.
Yeah, I'm a bit curmudgeonly today.
No.
Oh.
You curmudgeonly?
Yeah, a little bit.
No. You've got wellies on. She's got wellies on. I've got a joke about wellies.
The only thing is they're brand new.
I can see that. I can see that.
I did have some other ones.
Is there a reason why you're wearing wellies?
I'm putting them right in front of my lovely...
I know, you stuck them in the face of our guest.
Dougie Lawson. Yeah. Is my mic on?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're too far away from it, that's the problem.
The reason that I'm... Well, that's because I stretch my legs out. The reason I'm wearing new ones, Paul Andrews, is these are not just any wellies.
Are they hunters?
Oh, no.
No, you can't afford hunters.
No, they're fit. They're actually the same price. They're fit flops. You know, fit flops.
They're not flip flops, darling. They're wellies. You got sling back wellies.
You know, I have a metal knee, Dougie. I have a metal knee, you see.
Yeah.
And these have got micro wobble soles.
Micro wobble soles.
Yeah, they have. They've got the best.
Micro wobble soles. What's a micro wobble sole do when it's at home?
Well, how can I put this? So when you've got a little titanium knee, it's an Oxford knee, Dougie.
Yeah.
Apparently. And because I'm so young, it's only a half knee.
Right, okay.
Too young to have a whole knee.
Yeah.
So
you're saving up for the other half. Yeah.
Yeah. A lovely man called Mr. Helmut Zahn did it for me.
Yeah.
Very, very charming. He's German, you know.
Is he?
Did you get that?
Called Helmut. Yeah. Well, I'm deeply shocked.
And as he ushers me through the door, he puts his little hand in the...
Do we need to know this?
In the little waist part of me, you know, in the dip of my waist. And I said to my husband, why don't you ever do that? It's so courteous and gentlemanly. Anyway, my new husband doesn't do that.
Mind you, he doesn't give you half a knee either. No. So anyway, that doesn't answer why you're wearing wellies.
Well, because, Paul Andrews, I had another pair from FitFlop.
This is going to be a long story, Dougie. I think we ought to, you know, bed down for the night here.
Go on. A sip of tea.
Yeah, go on.
Our lovely guest, Dougie Lawson, just very calmly having some tea. So the reason was I had a nice pair of micro wobble fit flop boots.
Of course you did.
But because I live by the sea, Paul Andrews and Dougie, the salt water, I think, probably eroded them a bit. And I now realise, so they sent me a new pair because they were leaking. So I had trench foot at one stage, terrible trench foot. And so they sent me a new pair.
I need to warn you, Dougie, here. As soon as I ask Jules a question, we get her entire medical history. If we're not careful, she'll start talking about her thyroid as well. And then we've just got 2 hours where we might as well go home.
I think the trench foot's probably related to the thyroid.
Yeah.
But anyhow, they sent me a new pair, which is these. And they came this morning.
And you thought you'd wear them in?
Well, no, because I had to take my mother this morning. And I thought the weather was warm, Dougie, this morning. So I put on, I've got lovely crop jeans flip-flop, open-toed, with my lovely painted nails. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Little anklet bracelet.
Yeah. Very Essex, that is.
Yeah, my mother says it's women of, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Very Essex.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. I can't believe she said that in 2000 and what are we in? 20.
20. On the way to hospital.
Do you know, I thought we were still...
Why are you wearing that, dear? You look like a tart.
Exactly. And I said, Mother, really, who would pay for me, you know, my age? But anyway, long story short,
For that.
Yeah, so when I got home from the hospital in my open-toed shoes with lovely pink nails,
you changed into wellies.
I grabbed what was by the door, which had just been delivered, as I shuffled out the door. Plus my lovely raincoat, I couldn't get it zipped up, and I was stuck in it, and I couldn't get it off, and I couldn't get it on, so I just came in, you know, with a half zip. It's a long story.
I'm so pleased I asked.
Anyway, I love the boots.
Do you know what?
Lovely weather for ducks.
Yeah. Do you know what? I want to say a big thank you to this week's show sponsor.
Oh, I was going to ask that.
No, I'm going to tell you. The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with leading employment law firm Locke Associates Group. They will be bringing regular news, information and help with employment law, health and well-being at work. You can find out more about the Locke Associates Group by going to their website, which is www.lockassociates.co.uk, and that's spelt in the Scottish way, L-O-C-H, lockassociates.co.uk.
Well, Paul Andrews, got a little whiff of Scottish in the studio this morning. What do you think, with Dougie?
I think the pronunciation should have been Loch.
Yeah. Loch.
Yeah. Doctor.
Don't start her off. The only thing worse, Dougie, than her medical history is her accents. Don't even go there.
I just did the N500 thing.
North 500.
Oh,
North
500, it's just stunning, isn't it? And every corner you go around, you go, oh, my. We did it in a 20-year-old camper van because of COVID and all
perfect.
That. And I'm not sure, really, I'm the camping type, Dougie. But it was great, absolutely great.
Good weather?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad as well. I got sent some lovely midge spray.
Yeah,
I was always wondering why everybody rambles on about midges, because we were fine. And then suddenly one evening we sat out and they came. But Mary Jean, who was on, she was on our show, wasn't she?
She was indeed, the soap purveyor. Yeah,
and she was on Mary Jean.
Mary Jean UK.
UK.
Yeah, yeah.
Was on, and she sent me some lovely midge, and she does handmade Scottish soaps and things. And we went to the Isle of Skye, and we had fried haggis and the salmon. Oh, I've never had salmon like it.
I'll tell you what, shall we start this show?
Shall we do a food show?
Shall we do it? Because we're 20 minutes in and we haven't even mentioned anything yet.
Can I ask, Dougie Lawson, where are you from in Scotland?
Dundee's home for me, East Coast, yeah.
Cake.
Yeah, lovely.
Dundee cake.
Yeah, yeah. I will try very hard to stop her doing her faux Scottish accent. Yeah. But if she does break out into it, I apologise now. I'm really sorry.
Dr. Finlay.
I want to hear from you, though, all the businesses out there in Kent. Twitter's playing up today. They're messing about with everybody's Twitter feed.
Saying.
Yeah. So people are finding it difficult to retweet. But as it is, we've had a few thousand tweets anyway, which is lovely. And I'll read a few in a moment. But if you do want to contact us, you feel free to do that. You can tweet me at VanillaWeb, but please use the hashtag BBunker so that we can find you. You can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk, but it's best to tweet at VanillaWeb, or you can tweet her, the Welly Queen, at Jules Sirkin. Diamond Circle Weddings tweeted me, and you. Hi, VanillaWeb, Jules Sirkin, and all the Business Bunker listeners. This week is Bloor 2020. Bloor is Baby Loss Awareness Week.
Oh.
And we're so proud to have been asked by Sands UK and EKB MGG to light the iconic Grand Folkestone. That's the hotel down there overlooking the channel. And they're doing that this Thursday from 7 p.m. until 8 p.m. And they're going to light up the hotel in pink and blue in awareness of Baby Loss Awareness Week. They say, this week we are thinking about you and your loss. So do go down, if you're in the Folkestone area, do go down this Thursday, have a look at the Grand Folkestone there, 7 in the evening, because the lovely folks at Diamond Circle Weddings will be lighting the whole building in beautiful shades of pink and blue.
It is a beautiful...
it's a lovely building. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And that's a really, really nice thought, because there was a celebrity. I'm so old now, Dougie. I don't know half the celebrities. You know when they do these come dancing things now? I don't watch reality TV, but when they have them on, I don't know any of the celebrities anymore. But there was a celebrity that sadly lost her baby, and she put it out on her Instagram pictures. And it was very poignant and very sad. And I think it is a lovely thing and very brave thing to mm-hmm. highlight how you must possibly feel awful.
Absolutely.
We're saying nobody can... I mean, Twitter's gone bananas, Paul Andrews.
Sorry?
Twitter's gone bananas. I mean,
yeah, we have got loads of tweets. It's just that people are finding it difficult to do anything.
And Tracy Ferguson is tuning in. She says, hello, I can hear you. Woohoo, she says.
Tracy.
Yeah, the lovely Tracy.
Well, for some reason, we had one or two people had trouble listening last week, and we don't know why. We found one small problem, which we fixed, but we didn't know why they couldn't.
Well, for those of you who don't know about Tracy Ferguson, she is the owner of Plucky's World, which is a beautiful... She's a personal development coach and also a Prince's Trust mentor and a lifelong learner. But her Plucky's World cards are a bit in use at the moment,
absolutely,
aren't they?
Yeah.
So follow her. She's good.
Yeah. I've had a tweet from Kim Stevens from Care in Kent, and she says, I'd love a shout-out on the Business Bunker, please, for all the Care in Kent home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. A massive thank you to our Care in Kent teams for their outstanding care and devotion. If you see us out and about, give us a wave. And that says, much love, Kim. Of course, Kim, they're doing a fantastic job. Care in Kent look after people in their own homes. So they are out and about around the Ashford, Folkestone, South Kent area in their marked cars. So give them a wave as they go past.
Marked cars?
Yeah, marked cars.
I say.
Yeah.
Sound of Spitfire has said, I'm not sure I'll sleep well tonight now. Thanks for sharing that, Jules. That's you in your pink tutu. Dougie, we need to fill you in on this. So Paul, about a couple of days ago, put your government tweet.
I don't know if you saw it. The government put out a really stupid advert with a picture of a ballet dancer and said she ought to retrain
was
as
her
a
name
cyber.
Fatima
should retrain. And it just drove me nuts because it was just wrong on so many levels. And I don't normally do political stuff on Twitter.
She was going to retrain as a cyber.
It was, she was, they were telling her to retrain as a cyber specialist. And it was just wrong on so many levels that I felt the need to say something. So I just said, this is ridiculous. Why should she retrain into something that she's probably not suited for? You know, because she's a creative, she's a dancer, she has talent.
And she's also done years and years and years of
training. And I just said, and anyway, I run digital companies and we haven't got any jobs anyway because you've crashed us. So I was going to retrain as a ballet dancer. Now, I shouldn't have said that because she had a photograph of me in ballet gear, which has now gone viral on Twitter.
Yes. It's a very. It was actually a charity gig that Paul did very bravely a few years ago.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah,
years ago.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
What happened was it was for a fantastic charity. Funnily enough, and it's the Herbs Palsy Week. It's a charity called Herbs Palsy.
Yeah.
And Juliet Shand, the lovely Juliet Shand, who's one of the movers and shakers behind the Herbs Palsy charity, wanted to do something to raise money. So they started a competition where people could donate money and whoever donated the most could choose my forfeit. And the person that won made me wear a pink ballet tutu. And on top of that, I had to do 4 hours of Zumba. Yeah. And I actually did it with Tracy Crouch, who at the time was the Minister for Sport. Yeah. So Tracy and I did 4 hours of Zumba with me dressed like that and her just in a tracky suit whilst they all took photographs. But we did raise quite a lot of money for Herbs Palsy, so it was good.
I have quite a nice back catalogue of Paul Andrews over the years.
Yeah.
You know, doing various
things that I've done, which I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, which I keep for many an occasion.
So what have you got, Jules?
Well, I had an email saying, hello, Paul and Jules. We have two events coming up which may interest you. It's the, especially for your health and well-being listeners, which we all are at the moment, the business and science of healthcare and pets and the ageing population, focusing on health, healthcare, social care and care homes. And you can register to find out more about this by going to www.ruralpolicy.group/red. So that's a little bit cryptic, that email, but I think you can find out more about it by going to ruralpolicy.group.red.
Yeah, check them out.
And it's about the business and science of healthcare and also pets and the ageing population, of which Paul and I are one.
Two. There's two of us.
Oh, if you can. I've never been good at maths, as you know.
Yeah. And I'm marginally older than you, surprisingly.
Yes, you've got your bus pass.
I got my bus pass, yeah.
The buses are empty.
Just at the time when there aren't any buses. It's typical
well,
that.
We have buses where we live in Whitstable, but they're all, there's like one person and the driver, well, and that's it.
Well, I live in Tenston. We haven't seen a bus since 1832. Even our train's steam driven. I tried to use my bus pass on the steam train. They wouldn't have it.
No, why would they? Full of hot air. Expansion of the job support scheme. The government today announced, this was on the 9th of October, because our show isn't on the 9th of October, announced on an expansion of the JSS. What is the JSS? Sorry.
It's the new job support scheme.
Thank you. To provide temporary support to businesses whose premises have been legally required to close as a result of the coronavirus restrictions. And under this expansion, affected businesses will receive grants towards the wages of employees who've been instructed to cease work. And this will cover businesses that, as a result of restrictions set by one or more of the four governments of the UK, they're legally required to close their premises or to provide only delivery and collection services from their premises. The government will pay two-thirds of employees' usual wages up to a maximum of £2,100 a month. You will not be required to contribute towards wages, but you do need to cover employer national insurance and pension contributions. You can apply for the JSS, the job, what's it called, job support scheme,
yeah.
Thank you. Including the new expansions, even if you haven't previously used the coronavirus job retention scheme, which has CJRS abbreviated for you. And the JSS is available for 6 months from the 1st of November with payment of grants in arrears from early December. And the scheme will be reviewed in January. And you can just search job support scheme expanded to firms required to close due to COVID restrictions. And the job support scheme fact sheet is on gov.uk website for more details. And we will keep you informed on the Bunker Show of that. It's going to be changing all the time, I would
absolutely
think, don't you?
Well, funnily enough, I've got a tweet here from Alison Palmer, who's Business Development Manager for the Federation of Small Business for Kent and Medway. And she says, lovely listening to the Business Bunker Show. You're sounding as enthusiastic as ever, Jules and Paul. Thank you for all the support for the small business community across the southeast of England. And I have a bit of an announcement about this, because we're going to be partnering from now on with the Federation of Small Business. So later on in the show, I'm going to have a segment where we bring you news and events and all the things that the FSB are involved in, and that's going to be a regular part of the show from now on in. So we're really pleased about that, and
we couldn't do without them, because they're always supporting the SMEs and the small businesses around Kent. And
Chips and Dinks have tweeted in. They say the Business Bunker is a great show, and we're listening in. And even with the selection of cheesy music, and we haven't told you about that yet, Dougie. Even with the selection of cheesy music from Vanilla Web, he can be forgiven, because sometimes it can be enjoyed. Nah, that's not so. I'll tell you what, my cheesy tunage today was a nightmare.
Was it?
Yeah, I'll tell you about it in a minute.
Turkey.
Yeah. Dougie, you don't know what I'm talking about. When we have a guest in the studio, I try to pick a piece of music that has some incredibly tenuous link with the guest, and I struggled like anything with
a Scottish reel.
Well, no, even I wouldn't play the things I found that were related to turkeys, meals, or anything else. Yeah. It was the old mill in Amsterdam. Oh, you remember? Okay, even I couldn't play that as cheesy tunage.
I saw a mouse.
Yeah, I saw a mouse there on the stairs.
Totally.
Even I wasn't going to play that as cheesy tunage.
That's terrible.
So I spent half an hour going through. We've got 300,000 songs on that database, and I couldn't find anything that was relevant. I did pick something eventually that has the most tenuous link ever, but it is a reasonable piece of music, at least.
Well,
I'll tell you about it in a minute.
You know, I would walk 10,000 miles, and I would... Who's that,
that's the Proclaimers. What's that got to do with anything?
Scottish.
That's getting... If I just picked Scottish music, I could have picked anything, couldn't I? I could have picked Andy Stewart. But... I was trying to pick something to do with Turkey Mill, and
there's no way.
Well, no, everything I found, I found a piece of music, right? And I thought, this is brilliant, and it was.
Can you imagine him, Dougie, sitting up in bed in his pajamas Ovaltine.
I thought, this is it. It was a track called The Paper, because Turkey Mill used to be a paper mill, and it was sung by the Mill Brothers.
Oh, that is good.
And excellent. I thought, brilliant, until I played it. It was awful. It was so unbelievably awful.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, exactly. It was dreadful. I've had a tweet from the lovely Amanda Flanders. She said, I'm listening in from the stable with the ponies, and she sent us a picture of the ponies.
Weren't they beautiful? And they had little ears perked up.
Yeah.
I did like them, yeah.
Right, well, shall we play said cheesy tunage that I've picked?
Yes.
The link is more than tenuous, but at least it's a half-decent piece of music. Name that tune, Jules.
Paperback Rider. It's a good choice.
Change it around, and I wanna Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. The Beatles.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a bit limited in what I had there.
I much prefer that to the other.
The old mill in Amsterdam.
Yeah, I couldn't have listened to that.
Or the Mills Brothers. Yeah, it was terrible. Anyway, we got there eventually with that. You've been circulating my tutu picture, haven't you?
Yeah, it was just too tempting.
Shortly after we did that charity event and Jules kindly published the pictures on the internet, I stood in. A mate of mine runs a business radio station in New York, and he had to go away for a while. So he said, would I do the show for him? So I said, yeah, no problem. Who do you want me to interview? And he said, well, the first interview is Steve Forbes from Forbes magazine. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, blimey, yeah, I'll do that. No worries. So I did this show and I went to interview Steve Forbes. It was all done over the phone and stuff. And I went, Steve Forbes, Forbes magazine, thank you. And he went, yeah, Paul Andrews, yeah, I Googled you. He said, strange gear. And I went, what? He said, well, I've got a picture of you in a tutu, but you're a businessman, apparently. Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, that's your lasting legacy, obviously.
Yeah, nothing's forgotten on the internet. That's the problem, isn't it? No matter what you do, you can't be forgotten.
No, I know.
I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at the Recovery Well, and they say, can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please, Vanilla Web? The Recovery Well are running the prize draw through till the end of October. Clients who have an appointment this month get entered. Three things, total value of £35, plus great gifts or treats for yourself. Have a lovely day, and we'll be tuned in. And so you can find out about that and what they do and what this competition's about by following them on Twitter. And their Twitter handle is Recovery Well.
And the Masato Jones, they're designers.
They were saying horrible things about me yesterday.
Were they?
Yeah,
well,
they did.
They said nothing better than pink. But
but don't like the frills.
Well,
the frills were a major part of it.
Well, also, it did cover your derriere.
Well, exactly. If I hadn't got the frills, you could have seen my my large
tackle.
Stomach.
Well, tackle.
No,
well,
you couldn't see my tackle.
I think the frill gives you dignity.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Exactly.
Yeah, frills. Pink frills are always allied with dignity.
And we've heard from the Sound of Spitfire. I've put a picture of micro wobble heels and trench foot. Where they found that, I don't know. But
thank you, Chris.
A GIF, as I call it.
Yeah.
And we've had Sound of Spitfire tuned into Business Bunker, the lovely Chris. Good afternoon, everyone. Vanilla Web, Jules saying, there's Mr. Bean. I do love a bit of Mr. Bean.
Just so that everyone knows, Sound of Spitfire is a fantastic radio station based up in Spalding in Lincolnshire, run by Chris Hyde. Fantastic station. They play some wonderful music. Do give them a check out.
Yeah.
Have a listen. Sound of Spitfire.
South Lincolnshire.
Yeah.
How would they speak?
Anyway. No, don't go there. No, don't go there. You're just going to annoy people, aren't you?
Hello,
no, they don't say hey, up look. We had, no,
sure?
They do not. No, that's Derbyshire, Chesterfield. They're in the Fens.
I think they'd say a bit of Ducky,
wouldn't
they? And also Mid-Kent Mind. Do you know them?
Yeah.
So they say, we are Maidstone and Mid-Kent Mind. We are here to support anyone with mental health and problems. And as I said, they're based in Maidstone. You can find them on maidstonemind.org. And they say, digging your new look, Paul.
Oh, thank you. I need to tell you about this because it's happening. And I'm really pleased it's happening because for the last 2 years, it's been a really fantastic event. The Kent and Medway Business Summit will be happening on January the 15th, 2021. That's a Friday. It's also my mum's 92nd birthday that day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway. Happy birthday then.
Yeah. The Kent and Medway Business Summit will return for its fourth year on the 15th of January with a clear focus on business resilience, renewal and strategy for return to growth. It's hosted annually at the University of Kent by the Kent Business School. And its partners are the Federation of Small Business, the Institute of Directors, and located in Kent. And the Kent and Medway Business Summit brings together 400 businesses and policymakers to debate key themes. Expert keynote speakers will cover topics on the economy and latest developments in Brexit. Workshops will deliver insights into areas including productivity, infrastructure, placemaking and skills, and offer the opportunity for businesses to have their say on developing strategy. In 2021, the summit will be hosted virtually using an exciting platform called Remo, which offers unparalleled opportunities for networking and collaboration. If you want to pre-register, if you go to kenthospitality.kent.ac.uk/register. Let me give you that website again. kenthospitality.kent.ac.uk/register.
I'm having a malfunction.
So, what are you doing?
Well, I'm very eco.
What is that? It looks like a specimen jug.
I'm very eco-conscious, Paul.
Now, what is that in your mug?
Let's start from the beginning. I bought my lovely flask, all with water, which I do every week.
But what's that? What by all that's holy is that?
Poured it into my Mevagissi cup.
What is it?
We just got a leak. So Mevagissi in Cornwall, I drank lots of cider in this, and it's now got a leak.
It's got a leak.
So it went all over the desk. And I very sweetly was trying to mop it up.
That's
while
why
you
got your wellies on.
Yeah, exactly. But doesn't it, Doug? It looks like one of those things they give you in hospital when you can't get out of bed to go to the loo, isn't it?
Well, that's a B-day, isn't it?
Appetizing.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a B-day, is it?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't drip it all over the desk
well,
if I were
not.
You.
Well, I'm not. I've been quietly mopping it up before you. And not only that, I've had to put it in my cup of tea. So I've now got a horrible sort of tea dregs and water that I shall be having to have for the rest of the show. Mopped it up. Don't get all uppity.
Yeah.
It was just a bit odd because you were carrying on and I was having a bit of a... Look at my paper. It's all got water on it. Anyway, listener, back to business.
What a mess.
Yeah, I know. So I told you it was one of those days. Businesses... I had to have a brandy last night. I'd had such a bad day.
Last night or for breakfast?
No, last night. Businesses that plan grow 30%.
She drinks quite a lot of breakfast, Dougie, I have to tell you. She normally downs half a bottle of Prosecco with her scrambled eggs.
With my venison. It's venison season now.
You have venison for breakfast.
A little haunch, yeah.
You had a haunch for breakfast.
Yeah, quite often.
You?
It's very good for you. It's lean.
Okay.
Businesses that plan, Business Bunker listener, grow 30% more quickly, did you know? So business planning in a box, this is an idea. You can go to on the Twitter at bizplanningclub. That's all one word, at Biz Planning Club. And they're giving away 2 free workbooks and a full critique. And you can listen to The Bunker Show on October the 20th.
Yep.
Or you can find out more before then by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk /competition.
Yeah. They're running a competition. Shirley and Phil are on the show next week.
I'll just dry this off.
Thank you. Shirley and Phil are on the show next week on the 20th of October, launching their business in a box, a business planning tool. And there's a chance for people to win a free copy of it by going to that website and checking it all out.
Fabulous. That sounds great.
Yeah, it is.
Is
good.
That next week?
The 20th is next week.
Wow.
Yeah.
I shall be planning my mother's 90 on Wednesday.
Wow.
And we're going to, where are we going? Faversham.
Blimey.
The Reeds, the lovely Reeds.
You're going to Reeds. Lovely.
I booked a double room. We're now down to 6 people.
Oh, you're not going for something to eat?
Yeah.
You're just going to stay there?
No, we're having something to eat.
I know you are. You booked a room.
Why?
Yeah.
So I can drink.
Yeah.
Not just that. I booked the dinner. This is the trouble with hospitality. It's so difficult. I booked the dinner for 7 p.m. so that the kids, the grandchildren, could come. They all work in London, so that they finish work and get down. But then the curfew came, which is 10 p.m. And my mum is a party woman. You know,
she is
not like a 90-year-old. So I've had to bring the whole dinner forward to 6:30. So we, are not too
So
rushed.
You can get in enough drinking time.
Yeah and eating. But it's all a bit of a rush, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
What, should we talk to Dougie?
I think we ought to induce some sensible
he's
discussion.
Sat there and watching.
Yeah, in amazement. He's just sat there stunned and staggered by
he's
what's going on here.
What
yeah.
he's li- but then he is Scottish. I mean, you know, he can put up with anything being Scottish.
Do you think
really.
So?
They have
even
high
you.
Jinks up in the Highlands.
Do they?
Why do you think the Queen goes up there?
Yeah,
the
I suppose. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, it's an absolute pleasure. I'm really excited about this for all kinds of reasons, which will become clear as we talk more about it. But it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Mr. Dougie Lawson from Turkey Mill. And for those of you that don't know, Turkey Mill is a business park in Maidstone, on the outskirts of
it's
Maidstone.
It's very glam, isn't it?
It's lovely. It's
You've got
it's,
the river running through.
It's a really lovely location. Anyway, let's let Dougie tell you about it. Dougie, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't we kick off by you telling people a little bit about you and then about Turkey Mill and your kind of history with it to start with, and then we'll talk more about the actual place itself.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on.
Pleasure.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, well, the background to Turkey Mill is that I have for the last 40-odd years been a chartered surveyor. I was based up in London for 35 years or so.
Right.
23 years ago, I suggested to a client that they should buy Turkey Mill when Peter Young, the then owner, wanted to sell it.
Hmm.
And to cut a long story short, they did.
Right.
I got an opportunity to invest with them. And we ended up, five of us clubbed together to form a company to buy the property.
Right.
Peter Young, the previous owner, had owned it for the previous 20 years. He bought it when the paper mill shut down.
Hmm.
He started redeveloping. He lived there, actually, in the millkeeper's house. But he developed it somewhat. We then bought it, and over the last 20 years, we've refurbished everything probably twice. We've built new buildings, and we've now got a fairly mature business park. It's on a 20-acre site. We've got about 70 tenants in 100,000 square feet of space. And it's been a great, fun business.
Absolutely. For those of you that don't know it, it's on the outskirts of Maidstone, on the A20, on the way into Maidstone from Bested. It's a glorious site. There's lots of water there because that was a main ingredient of the mill. And in fact, some of the water powered some of the mill as well. It was a mixture of steam and water powered. And I know that because I worked there when it was a paper mill.
Were you?
It was actually my first ever job when I was asked to leave school.
How old were you?
14. I was 14 when I started
that
this.
That was in 1066.
Slave labour, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, basically, my birthday's in August, so I was asked to leave school in July, and I was due to be 15 in August, obviously, so and hence I started work there. But I went to school at a school that was then called Vinters, which is now the community Happy Valley Community School or whatever it's called.
Happy
now.
Valley?
Yeah, yeah, it's Chinese takeaway. No, it's the Valley Community School now. But the back entrance to the school when I was there used to come out to a bus stop opposite Turkey Mill.
Yeah.
And on the day I left school, I used to come and get the bus home from there because I lived in Bested.
Didn't you have a penny farthing?
No. And I came out to the bus stop, and as I came out to the bus stop, they were putting up a sign that said, "Situation's vacant." So I walked over the road and I went, "Can I apply for that?" And they went, "Yeah, come down now. You can have the interview." And Jock Williamson, who was the general manager, we stood outside his office. There were four of us. And he said, he was Scottish as well. He was from Glasgow.
With a name like Jock.
Yeah, he was from Glasgow. Leadership. Yeah. And he stood us against the wall. And he said, "You are the smallest, me. You got the job." And that's how I passed my first interview. And my job was to crawl in the machines while they were running and grease the bearings and to smash the rats. I had a mallet for smashing the water rats.
It's like something out of the Dark Ages.
Yeah, it was. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let Dougie speak in a minute, but basically, when I worked there, it was owned by a couple of chaps. There was Major William Pitt and a chap called Cook. Now, he was a captain, but of course, if you call him Captain Cook, it sounded stupid. But the funny thing was, they used to tour the plant every day at either 11 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon. And they took it in turns. So the major would come round one time and then Cookie would come round the other time, okay? And when they came round, we all had to stand in a line. I'm not lying. We had to stand in a line and touch the forelocks, yeah? And
you
go,
"Did you have a forelock?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You go, "Afternoon, Major." And he go, "You're all doing very well." And then he walked through. Now, the problem with Cookie was he was always drunk. even at 11 o'clock in the morning. And between them, I worked in the machine room, and between the machine room and the beta room was a set of metal stairs that were outside. I don't know if they're still there.
I think they're still there.
Yeah. There was a metal staircase outside that's quite steep. And, of course, being outside, when it rained or snowed or anything, it was wet and slippery.
Yeah.
And my job was to walk up behind Cookie to ensure he didn't fall off the stairs while he was going up there.
So he'd fall on you.
yeah. So he fell on me because he was drunk most of the time.
That's terrible.
Anyway.
Should we talk to Dougie now?
Sorry?
Should we talk to Dougie?
Let's talk to Dougie because he's much more interesting. Yeah.
Well, no, you're very interesting.
So you took over the site. And when you took over the site, Dougie, what was the state of play with it?
Well, Peter Young had actually done quite a lot of work. He converted quite a lot of the old buildings, some of them into offices. A lot had been into small kind of warehouse, little light industrial units.
Mm.
Over the years, they've all been converted to offices now.
Yeah.
It's a lot of history. A lot of it's Grade 2 listed, so we can't touch the outside.
Yeah.
But we've built new buildings. We built the Orangery, the wedding venue.
Yeah.
And that was a big negotiation with English Heritage. They were very
How many
particular.
Does that take, that venue?
It takes about 150 to sit
nice
down.
Nice size.
Yeah,
Gina, I'm sorry about this. This is all name dropping. So I'm so excited about this. I'm more excited than Dougie. I'm really excited about this.
Do you know, listener, before the show, I had to interrupt these gentlemen as they were chatting away. I had so much in common, and it was 5-2 going on air, and I had to say, gentlemen, I had to split them up.
Just for what it's worth, because it's apposite to where we are right now today. The last time I was in the Orangery, I hosted, I do a lot of MC work and stuff like that, and I hosted an event, a business event, at which the guest speaker was one Mr. Boris Fifel Johnson.
Really?
Mm, yeah.
How long ago was that?
Oh, 15 years ago, I suppose.
We've got Nurse Liz listening in from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Nurse Liz.
Yeah, and she
You're
says
right.
I do love an accent. She's waiting to hear from Dougie.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. So let's carry on. Oh. So the Orangery, tell us a little bit about that, because you do special events and stuff there as well, don't you?
Well, what happened to him, when we bought the site, there was a planning consent to build a 5-bedroom house in these beautiful grounds, which we didn't want to do, and we didn't want to sell the... We wanted to keep the 20 acres together. So we were thinking how we could do that, and we came up with the idea of weddings. We had a temporary planning consent with a marquee for 3 years, and that actually went surprisingly well, and as a result of that, that gave us the confidence to build the Orangery, which was the first and main part of it. But then latterly, we realised we were slightly compromised in terms of numbers and trying to extend the season for weddings in particular. So we then got another consent and we built what's known as the garden room, which is effectively the link.
Yeah.
And that takes us up to about 150 now. And obviously, weddings at the moment...
Wait, what were the numbers at the moment? I've lost track. Is it 20 you're allowed? Or?
It was... 30, but I think it's down now to 15. And actually, I think we actually passed on the day-to-day management now, but it's very difficult because the rules keep changing.
I know. Yeah.
They had to bump. Weddings at Turkey Mill are often booked at the Orangery, as it's known, 2 years in advance.
Exactly.
So if you can't give everyone their wedding dates this year and they say, well, can I have the same day next year?
It's already booked.
It's already booked. Mm. So I think quite a lot of people have decided to have small wedding ceremonies, get married and defer the party and hopefully coincide that on the anniversary next year or whenever they can.
That's a bit like I'm doing with my mum's 90th because she likes a disco, she likes to dance.
I have to say, though, the location there of the Orangery and the garden room is stunningly gorgeous. It's on the banks of a lake. Yeah.
Yep.
And you look across the lake. It is such a lovely location.
I could paddleboard there, couldn't I?
Well, when I worked at the mill, we used to do pike fishing in that lake.
Okay.
At lunchtimes, we'd catch pike in there. Has it still got pike in it? I don't know.
Yeah. Fishing's not encouraged.
not anymore.
The wedding parties don't like
it. They don't like it.
They like it.
So you can't wear your wellies there, okay? I raised that just so you don't turn up in your wellies.
I'm
down
not
there.
Mad on pike, anyway.
So obviously, under present circumstances, weddings and things are quite difficult. But you do hire the venue out for other things other than weddings, I guess.
Yes, there's quite a lot of, particularly in the autumn and the spring, there's quite a lot of events, be it business awards, that kind of thing. We used to have the police constables, the Lord Mayor's garden party, and all kinds of
weird and wonderful things. Very lovely.
Yeah, but it's a great facility. And people drive past the entrance on the A20 for years and years, and you have to come through a railway arch to come down into the site. Yeah. And they have we call it a business oasis these days. Mm. And actually, it's a very fair description.
It is, and you're absolutely right. If you didn't know it was there, you would drive past without ever knowing it was there, because all it is an arch, a viaduct in the railway.
Quite a lot of people actually have come down to look at offices, and they say, I've been to a wedding at the Orangery, and they say, I never knew there was all this other space as well.
It's huge, yeah.
And as you say, the buildings themselves, from the there's two houses, isn't there? Because there's a house halfway down the drive on the left.
It's Brooke House, I think.
Yeah.
So who lives there?
I don't know now.
No, it's split into... I've got six office tenants. And
yeah, you've got offices in there.
So they're offices in...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you ever go back to residential now that Boris has made that sort of thing more easy?
Well, it's surprising, actually, because 10 years ago, things were very tough, you know, the last recession, and we survived pretty well. But there were a lot of old, rather tired 60s or 70s offices in Maidstone. And the difference now is that we've had 5 or 6 years of permitted development rights, which is this ability to change office buildings into residential.
Yeah. Mm.
And we reckon about 5 Turkey Mills worth of offices in Maidstone Town Centre have gone to flats.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
So we've got, I think there's going to be a lot of office tenants are going to be wanting to move, change size of offices in the next year or two. But I'll just move lots of people around. It'll be hard work.
Yeah. I want to talk about that in a minute, the overall where we are with office space, because there's a lot going to happen in one way or another over the coming next few years. But let's just kind of dwell on Turkey Mill as a space for the moment, because so you've got the main house there as well, which is now offices.
That's my offices on the ground floor.
Right.
Yep.
I used to have a friend that had an office in there some years ago, Will. He owned a company called Alcanara.
Yes.
If you remember
what
that, he had
do?
An office in there.
Huh? What did they do?
Alcanara is Spanish for strawberries, so have a guess.
They grew strawberries?
Well, they imported Spanish strawberries.
Strawberries don't have the same flavour, do they?
No. Anyway.
But I digress.
Yeah. No, anyway, they were a big strawberry company. Will sold the business eventually and relocated most of the year to...
I thought it was Fresa.
Sorry?
I thought it was Fresa strawberry. In Spanish, Fresa.
No.
Could be.
Yeah. Anyway, he moved to South Africa. Whatever. Stellenbosch. You'd like Stellenbosch.
Have been there.
Vineyards
there.
Yeah. But the range of buildings there, which obviously were factory buildings and stuff like that, the architecture and everything is beautiful, although it must be quite difficult to make them into office spaces.
They're all different.
So they've got fireplaces, features.
They're pretty good as functional modern offices. We've got, you know, fibre optic cable into the site on. But it's got lots of charm. It's got lots
character.
Of history. And I think people are... We're lucky. We've got about 600 car spaces. There's parking. Nobody has to take public transport.
Yeah.
I find a lot of the people that sign the leases live locally. Hmm. They don't have a long commute. They want to work somewhere nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it ticks the box, you know.
It is certainly a lovely place to work, and you've got everything that you need on site. There's a bistro cafe type place, isn't there? So at the moment, where are you as a business park? You know, so many businesses are kind of struggling. People are struggling with office space in one way or another. So how are you finding things at the moment, Dougie? Are you half full? Full, three quarters full.
I think I'm about, certainly over 90% let in terms of floor space.
Mm.
But I can foresee in the next couple of years, I can see a lot of changes.
Yeah.
Once businesses work out the new working pattern that they settle down with, and that's the thing they don't know at the moment.
Yeah.
Then I think there'll be a lot of discussions with me about, can I have more offices? Can I have less offices?
Mm.
And that's, I spend my life.
Yeah.
Playing musical chairs, as I call it, trying to sort tenants out.
Have you thought strategically I know it's almost impossible at the moment because we just don't know what's happening. Have you thought at all about the type of spaces you offer and the kind of terms that you offer for people? I mean, and while you're thinking about answering that question, I mean, one of the other things that I'm seeing is a number of companies are letting go of big offices and taking on smaller offices or offices with meeting space because they're having more and more people working from home. But they still need an office and they still come together for regular meetings. I don't know if you've seen any of that yet.
It's very hard to generalise, but we've got so many different kinds of business. But I think the common factor is just uncertainty at the moment.
Yeah.
But I expect, as a very broad rule of thumb, I expect people to want to work in the office 2 or 3 days a week on average. Hmm. You might get an accountant who comes in one day a week, but the creative lot who come in and thrive on being together, coming in 3 or 4 days a week.
Sure.
But nobody really knows. And so people just want flexibility and the ability to move size of offices, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to be the pattern of commercial space. Anybody that's flexible will get away with it. If you try and tie people into things, I think it's going to be harder and harder to do that.
It's a confidence thing. We don't know what's happening. And I think a lot of people, especially youngsters that I've spoken to, need that communication of going into the office, having a coffee, having a chat. You know, if you're 24, 25, just out of uni or whatever.
Well, if you're going to learn, you know, normally you used to learn by sitting next to your boss. You know, and listening to the senior folk in the office.
So, exactly.
I don't think office will be used in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
And I think we've had some very interesting conversations with people who work in Hatton Garden, for instance, who are slogging up every day at the moment. And they've worked out they can work much closer to home. And they can't do it from their actual house, but if they don't have to slog up Tatton Garden, they can go up the road.
Some people have been working on their beds and on their kitchen tables and things like that, and it's sometimes not viable if you've got young children, dogs barking and all that. You just need to get out and be somewhere else.
Absolutely.
You know, for all of us, no matter what area of business we're in, everything's up in the air at the moment, and we're just kind of taking things as it comes and trying to work out what's going on where. That aside, just brushing that aside, how do you see the long-term future of the site? Is there any more development you can do?
We're sitting on a planning consent for another building of 23,000 square feet, which would accommodate probably 12 reasonable-sized businesses.
Yeah.
But if you look around the finances of the rent you would achieve against the building cost, against the ability to borrow money from banks, it's not going to happen without finding a tenant who wants a big chunk of it.
Yeah.
I don't think, if you look around, in fact, Kent County Council have their annual property review coming up next month. And if you look, I'd be very surprised if there's a single new office development going on in Kent at the moment.
Right.
It's just the economics are not...
They're just not there. No, absolutely.
...to it. Yeah. It doesn't mean people won't refurbish. And, you know, every time we get space back, we spend money. I reckon I kind of, when I tell people what I do, I suggest it's more like running a hotel. I sit at the reception desk. I balance room rates and occupancy rates. I've got to keep the place shipshape. I've got to invest money. You know, it's got to stand out and compete against all the rest.
So have you dropped rates at all because of COVID?
Rather than drop rates, we're definitely becoming more flexible in the leases we're granting.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people are much more concerned about, flexibility. It's pretty good value for what it is anyway, but it's flexibility. People do not want to tie themselves into long leases. And we've got 20 years of track record, so we're relatively
And you've got parking for how many cars?
About 600.
Wow,
yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah, it's a lovely site. It is a lovely site.
You wouldn't know it if you came on site, but they're all dotted around. But it makes a huge difference.
I've had another idea for COVID times. Water skiing lessons on the lake.
It's a bit, you need to go up to Moat Park for that.
It's interesting what you were just saying about feeling like a hotel. A friend of mine actually owns a hotel, which he's converted into office space, community workspace and hot desking and office units.
That's Rochester,
So. Well,
it makes sense, I think. you know, the traditional office is you, the tenant never meets the landlord. There's a managing agent that chases them for rent and service charge. There's no connection at all.
Mm.
I have a much better feel of what's going on the estate.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, funnily enough, we were just talking about it and kind of lost track of the time until Jules reminded us we had to start a radio show.
Oh, I tell you, the show was on before the show.
Halfway through lockdown, when we were all working at home, my building got where my office is got sold. And my landlord, who I've known for 30 years, I rang him up to tell him I wasn't going to pay the rent, you know, thinking, oh, Charlie will be fine with this. And he just laughed at me. He says, too late, mate. I've sold the building. You've got a new landlord who I've never met. So interesting days. So you have this potentiality to develop something on the site if you find a tenant that will presumably take it in advance of you doing the development, or possibly even develop it with you.
Yeah, we'll wait to see. It's at the moment, I think it's our planning consent will run out next year, and so we'll need to renew it. But it's there for the
right
thing. The thing is, I would actually quite like. We are very good at letting to smaller businesses and smaller units.
Yeah,
and I don't think any one of our tenant is worth. Pays us more than 5% of the rent, so your risk is quite well spread.
Yeah,
if somebody goes or they go bust,
yeah,
we've got very nice space. We re-let it.
Yeah,
if you let to, our model is lots of tenants on short leases.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, and I think that's a perfectly sensible model in as far as you can do that, because you know it does spread the risk. You know, especially in today's times. You know, because you just don't know, and it isn't. You know, the amount of businesses that sadly have gone bust already, you know, so even, you know, what were once very strong, stable businesses suddenly go kaput, and you've got all your eggs in one basket, you could be in trouble. So I get that. Look, it's a lovely place. If you're looking for office space in Maidstone, check it out, because it is an oasis. I know that's their marketing spiel, but Doug is absolutely right. It's a lovely...
As Dougie said, those who were going into London and commuting, that's a really good location.
Mm. We're actually just produced a poster, which we haven't quite sorted it, but we were going to advertise on the London-bound platforms at East and West, Maidstone and Bearsted.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only thing is there's not that many people on the
platforms at the moment.
To see them at the moment.
Yeah, but again, that's really interesting, because I'm also seeing a lot of businesses... that have central London offices that are saying, do you know what, but all of our staff commute, why don't we just have a ring of meeting rooms spread around the home counties? It's vastly cheaper than the ridiculous prices that you pay in Canary Wharf or, you know, wherever. And we can afford to do that. So I think that pattern is set now, you know, this flexible combination of some people working from home, some people working from community spaces, and a lot more people moving out of London. And you've certainly seen that domestically. A lot of...
The house prices have rocketed, haven't they?
In Kent, yes, as people leave London and have gone, you know... sod this for a game of soldiers, we're out.
People are looking for cabins in the garden, bigger gardens, more space in the homes.
Yeah, absolutely. Dougie, fascinating talking to you. I love Turkey Mill. It's a great place. As I said, if you're looking for office space in the Maidstone area, do go and check it out. It's a gorgeous place. And once we're all, you know, allowed out again, if you fancy getting married or having an event, I really recommend having a look at the Garden Room and the Orangery, because they're a fantastic location.
Yeah, exactly. And I think people will have smaller weddings.
Mm.
And then, as you say, party later on.
Yeah,
and
like weddings without a groom, that
kind
of thing.
It's like with my mum's, you know, we're going to do...
She getting married? Ruth?
I'd love her to get married. She's quite, you know, she's very lovely. But with hers, we're doing this Reeds at Faversham, staying the night and stuff. But six of us, so then I'm going to get a load of her mates from choir and, you know, all her clubs, and do an afternoon tea and, you know, just various smaller events, which might not work for you because, you know, you've got to make it pay. I don't know.
Yes, the weddings team are dealing with that. But no, they need bigger numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, running wedding venues at the moment is not... Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Doug, it's fascinating talking to you about Turkey Mill. We love Turkey Mill. If people want to find out about it before they visit, what's the best way to do that?
Well, obviously, our website, which is www.tokymill.co.uk, is the details on it.
Yeah, check it out. There's lots of pictures there as well. And the site itself, as an old paper mill, has got a lot of history, a lot of history. And there is some stuff on your website about the history of the mill.
If you just put history, Turkey Mill on Google, it's actually, we put quite a lot of effort into that page.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Dougie, thank you so much for that. Dougie, it's lovely to talk to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Dougie Lawson of Turkey Mill, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We've got a couple of minutes before we join the newsroom. We've got loads of tweets coming in. The lovely Tracy Ann Barker, Tabba Official is her Twitter handle. Happy Tuesday, Vanilla Web, Jill Serkin. Enjoying listening to the show. I'm going to listen to most of it on catch up later. Could I have a shout out, please? It's a busy time, training manager and also developing our online courses. Hope you're all well and staying safe. So if you want to find out about some of the management training courses that Tracy Ann is developing, you can follow on Twitter. It's Tabba, T-A-B-A underscore official. Tabba underscore official.
It's really funny because I was, you know,
there's a lot of talk about Beatles of not the singing kind at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that Beatle there?
Yeah, I did. I identified it last night.
How do you?
It was a devil coach horse.
I didn't know you were a Beatle expert.
Google is your friend.
Well, when I was recording that, it was most, you know, when you... record live. I was doing Dougie's video out on my Twitter stream and somebody phoned me and it cuts off the video. It's really annoying.
Yeah.
Even though my phone's on silent.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I got
rid of them and the
it
video
will because you're on an app.
It's annoying.
Yeah. I had a tweet from Michael Park Surveyors, MPSL.
Hello. Yeah.
Loved listening to the Business Bunker show. What a great interview. So thank you. That's Michael Park Surveyors over there in Rochester. What else we got here?
Well, they're all chatting about things. And,
yeah, Telcare, it's listening to the Business Bunker radio show with Vanilla Web, sharing views, info and general chat from the Kent business world. That's Telcare, the telecom systems providers, also based in the Medway City Estate in Rochester.
And Tazy64, Tracy Ferguson says, great to hear there will be a regular update slot from the lovely FSB Kent.
Sweet.
And Alison Palmer's chirping in as well. On that, so she's answering someone, I think. If you mean the Kent and Medway Business Summit, it is online. Do join us if you can, or welcome. That's kenthospitality.kent.something or other there, but you'll find it hospitality, the Kent Business Summit.
It's kenthospitality.kent.ac.uk.
Lots of dots going on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because it's actually part of the University of Kent website, that's why.
Yeah, they've added. That's good.
Come and visit our virtual venue when we're holding V Southeast Construction Expo. Using the very latest technology, we can offer all the things that made live events work. Come and visit our virtual venue where we are holding V Southeast Construction. We have built a unique networking and learning environment with great content, live Q&A and informative and expert speakers. Keep the date free. It's the Virtual and Live Construction Expo on the 18th and 19th of November. You can find out all about it by going to constructionexpouk.co.uk/virtual construction. Let me tell you that again, constructionexpouk.co.uk/virtual construction.
And Alison Palmer at FSB Kent says, by the way, B Bunker, using the hashtag, we are changing the title of the upcoming Thursday webinar. It's now, ready? Drum roll. It's now Kickstart Trainees and Apprentices, Shaping Your Business for the Future. And they say...